Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Steve Butler, the executive director of CNY Arts. CNY Arts is currently leading the Engage CNY initiative. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, could you give me some background on CNY Arts as an organization?
Sure. CNY Arts was formerly the Cultural Resources Council. We're a local arts council, and at one point in time, the New York State Council of the Arts had a goal of having an arts council in every county. As it's evolved through the decades, that hasn't worked out, and arts councils such as ours became regional. So we served Onondaga County and then Oswego and Cortland, and in the past couple of years, we've picked up Herkimer, Madison, and Oneida counties to serve as well.
And tell me more about the mission of the organization and how it's funded.
The mission of the organization is to support, promote, and celebrate the arts and culture in Central New York. We're funded through state contracts as well as local government contracts for service, often through community granting programs where we get money from government and through a panel process distribute that money out either in the county or throughout the region. We also have a fair amount of private donations through the foundations and individuals, as well as community-based programs where there are some admissions for the work that we do.
And I know that with a lot of other nonprofits and philanthropic organizations, their private donations has been a struggle in recent years. Have you folks experienced that too?
I think that we have. I have to tell you, when I came on board 5 years ago, it's just under 5 years since I came on board, the organization didn't have a robust private donor list. And that might have been to our advantage because while we certainly were suffering along with all of the other not-for-profits, it wasn't something that the organization was missing in that moment with all the other things that were happening. So in a way, we're sort of building back to that. And I think the world of not-for-profits has changed in terms of social entrepreneurialism. And so, you know, I think the models of how things are funded and sustainable are going to be different.
And we'll talk about the Engage CNY project in a minute. But first, are there other ongoing programs that your organization does?
Oh, absolutely. We run a program for the New York State Council on the Arts called Decentralization, and we give out grants to arts organizations, arts and education programs, and individual artists in the six counties that we serve. We also provide a statewide technical assistance component to other arts service organizations, again, through a contract with New York State. And for the County of Onondaga, we distribute about $1 million in funds to arts, culture, history, and heritage organizations in Onondaga County.
And so now give me an overview of this Engage CNY project. What's going on with that?
Well, Engage CNY is a regional assessment of the six counties that we have been contracted by the state of New York to serve with a goal of creating what we believe will be the first ever cultural plan for the region. And that will be a set of priorities that stakeholders, which is a wide group of stakeholders, not just the traditional arts and culture leaders, but also those in hospitals, government, business leaders, community leaders, can agree upon, and then a set of strategies to make those priorities and goals happen. The project was funded through the Regional Economic Development Council, which was an initiative of the governor, and our regional, we call it REDC, is chaired by Rob Simpson at Center State and the Chancellor, Nancy Cantor.
And was there a perception that there's a problem of a certain kind with the way things are being done now? Was there a sense that you've got a lot of different people doing different kinds of things and none of it is connected? I mean, what was the impetus for needing that kind of a project?
Well, CNY Arts was engaged in a strategic planning process. And we were engaged in that because the local foundations had developed an initiative called the Initiative to Develop Engage Audience Services. And from that project, one of the recommendations from the consultant was to develop a stronger arts council. And so the ideas funders provided for strategic planning for our agency. And at the same time, because all of these things were happening at the same time, we were in a way like an accordion. Other arts councils were suspending services, so the state and other entities were saying, could you pick up this county? Can you pick up that county? So we were serving three counties and then nine and then 11 and then nine. And then finally, it sort of solidified around these six counties. And I think that in a macro way, there are a lot of different reasons, but we came to one question, which is, we provide a select set of services to these counties, mostly through regranting and technical assistance. And we can go in and deliver those regrant programs and provide technical assistance around applying for those grants. Or we could think what it would mean to be a full service organization for the region. And that is how we got to engage CNY. It was really a strategic planning decision that if we're going to provide services, we better talk to stakeholders to find out what they really wanted and needed.
And so the ultimate idea is to create a plan and a regional plan. Tell me more about how that's going to be used then. Or is the idea that people are going to plug into this somehow or –
Absolutely. The regional plan is based on, several different strategies are in motion now. There's a surveying operation where we're collecting information from the general public. What do they want? What do they need? Oftentimes, the excellent offerings that the arts, culture, history, and heritage community provides don't necessarily meet the needs of the general public in terms of delivery systems, you know, perhaps where the art is delivered. Or the time. We are also surveying individual artists and creative individuals, designers, culinary arts, you know, not necessarily the traditional arts, but all people in the creative industries. And we're surveying the arts, culture, history, and heritage organizations. We have a researcher who is looking at census data as well as marketing data and determining where there are high volumes of demand for art and where there are also high volumes of what could be demand for art if we can connect how people want it to what is being offered. At the same time, we've developed a leadership advisory council, which has a lot of stakeholders, as I was describing, you know, provosts of colleges and presidents of hospitals and religious leaders and those in community service who are helping to inform us of what their agendas are and how arts and culture plays a role in their agenda, which is, I think, good for us all as well. And at the end of it, through a vetting process with all of these stakeholders, we hopefully will have six, seven top priorities and a set of strategies that people can plug into.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Steve Butler, the executive director of CNY Arts. You've just been describing the survey effort that's part of the Engage CNY project. So I had a question about that as I was reading about it, is why would you not commission a poll to get at that as opposed to the survey approach that you're taking?
Well, that's a very good question, and frankly, the researcher that we've hired, Diane Matarazza, has done these projects across the country and believes that this is a better way of approaching this issue, as well as the fact that and the researcher who is doing the work for us had done the initial initiative to develop and engage audience services in Onondaga County. So I think a process had been begun and we're just expanding that process out into the region.
And tell me more about what you're hoping to learn from it. You mentioned areas where there's demand for art or potential demand if things were structured in a different way. Tell me more about what you're trying to get out of the survey.
Well, you know, I could tell you anecdotally just from another component to this is we're actually doing forums and going around and speaking to arts groups as well as the general public. So perhaps you think that there are rural, urban, and suburban divides, that people from rural communities don't tend to come into the city. But what if it turns out that a lot of these divides are about transportation, that there's only one car in the household, and that with both parents working at alternate times, there really is no opportunity to come to a cultural hub and partake in the arts and culture. So if the arts and culture, history and heritage could go out into the community, then there would probably be a lot more participation in those offerings. So that's just kind of an example of what you might find out. I also think that the surveying helps to create connections that people don't necessarily think about organically. For instance, if you were to ask someone, how do you participate in arts and culture? They might tell you, I don't. Mm-hmm. And in their mind, they are seeing someone playing a violin in a tuxedo. But if you say to them, what do you do for entertainment? Oh, we go to the local bar. They have these great bands. I spent all last week making costumes for my child who's in the school play. That is arts and culture. But I have to say, our industry has in some ways kind of rarefied a little bit what we do that maybe has been disconnecting from the general public.
And you mentioned before that you've targeted certain groups with some of these surveys, the artistic community and then stakeholders such as provosts at colleges and universities. But everybody can take it if they want, right?
Absolutely. We encourage everybody to take it, even visitors to our region who, you know, either work, come here for work or play. We'd like to hear what they're looking for when they come into the area as well.
So where do they go? Someone listening to this who hasn't done the survey yet, where should they go to do it?
Well,
what's the cutoff for when they have to get their opinions in?
If they go to our website, you know, www.cnyarts.org, they can take the survey, and the cutoff date is October 15th.
Okay.
So some people might have thought that it was earlier, but we're actually going to run that survey through October 15th.
And you mentioned also that as part of this effort, you've had some face-to-face forums, again, with different kinds of groups, and some of them are with artists themselves.
Yes.
Did you learn anything from them that you weren't expecting to learn when you got them all together in a room and asked them questions about this?
I learned things. I might have been reminded of things. You know, one of the topics that comes up is arts education. It's really on everybody's mind. And a lot of it, you know, centers around the new testing and the core curriculum and the efforts to involve arts and culture in that core curriculum. If there's a lot of testing going on, you know, where is there time for arts, culture, history and heritage? As well as where are the resources to send students on field trips to participate in it. And from individual artists through arts organizations through community leaders, everyone is wondering if what is happening to our audiences of the future if people are not exposed to this at a very early age. And I know from my personal experience, you know, I saw a local Theater Guild production, I think, when I was about 5 years old and fell in love with theater. I'm sure it was fine. It was community theater. It was not professional. But children can have those transformative experiences by being exposed to the arts in many different ways and then go on to become practicing artists and arts patrons.
My guest is Steve Butler, Executive Director of CNY Arts, which is leading an initiative called Engage CNY. Well, it sounds to me like what you're talking about here, for lack of a better phrase, I would call community-driven art. Does that phrase make sense? And if it does, what is it?
It's certainly part of the equation. I mean, there's always a role for professional arts and culture. But I do think in the 21st century, because of how technology has changed our world, I do think that audiences are looking to actually participate in arts and culture as much as observe it from a passive audience place or even going into a museum. And while we always want to brand the region, which is I think is a part of this initiative working with the Syracuse Convention and Visitors Bureau, for visitors, we also want all of the residents in our region traveling to all the things that are being offered. And clearly, if that is the case, then the community must have a voice in what is being delivered and how it's being delivered to them.
And how would you describe currently the health of the arts in the central New York region?
Well, arts, culture, history and heritage organizations, for the most part, I think are pretty tough and they're survivors. There was a study done a couple of years ago by Le Moyne College as part of the National Americans for the Arts Economic Prosperity in the Arts Study. And what they found was that we have an impact of about $131 million. This is just in Onondaga County alone on the economy. But that by comparison to similar sized communities, we were not capitalized at the same level. So I think that that is a particular challenge for our industry in how to continue to offer quality offerings that do excite both the residents and visitors when, you know, the margins are so thin and, you know, a serious mistake can maybe can't be overcome.
And so another way to say what you just said, I think, is in terms of arts culture, we're punching above our weight.
That's very apt.
And in terms of the recent health, how much of a blow do you think was the collapse of the symphony a couple of years ago? I mean, it's come back in a different form, but what would you make of that?
The collapse of the symphony has a lot of implications. One implication is, you know, that it's come back in a very different way. And so, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And I think a lot of arts, culture and heritage organizations are looking at reinventing, you know, how they're doing business. But I think it also it was probably troubling and distancing for a lot of our potential donors and audiences for all arts and culture because, you know, of promises made and tickets sold for benefits that didn't happen. It and the business community and so many who really, you know, did some heavy lifting to keep the symphony on its feet. So it is it does happen. Other industries have gone under. Other companies have gone under. If you look at the Onondaga Historical Association and the Everson Museum of Art and even CNY Arts, these organizations have been around 50 to 100 to 150 years. But others, you know, do not make it.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations, and I'm talking with CNY Arts Executive Director Steve Butler. Well, taking a city of Syracuse's size, are in terms of art, are there certain things that a city just has to have?
I believe that there are certain things a city has to have. And basically, if you talk to recruiters at major corporations, they'll tell you in their efforts to attract talent and skill sets into certain industries that those they're recruiting would expect that there is a, you know, quality museum, that there's quality theater and quality music, and that there's a sense of celebrating our heritage and history, you know, and that they see a community that they that they're not just living somewhere, but they're actually that they're home, that they are home. And arts and culture are a significant part of the ambiance that makes people feel that they're connected and at home.
And do you think it can go beyond that? I mean, it seems to me that the story of some cities' revivals from difficult pasts, like the kind that Syracuse has had in terms of its base, involve art becoming the magnet for a lot of other things.
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely, you know, and there are texts, you know, Chucky Holstein in the focus group. It's all, you know, who put together, you know, so many wonderful programs to discuss this very issue. Talk about a city that drew a line in the sand and said, we are not going to be a city down on its heels or down on its luck. We're going to build an aquarium. We're going to bolster our arts and culture, and we're going to reinvent ourselves and, you know, have done so. And if you look at the story of Pittsburgh, and even if you look at Philadelphia through the bicentennial in terms of, you know, reinventing themselves as this wonderful place to experience American history and culture, there are many successful examples. And simply the fact that because arts, culture, and heritage are often really labor-intensive operations, and a lot of the money that does come to us goes right back into the local economy. So there's a lot of peripheral industries, you know, from restaurants to design, and you know, a lot of money goes into producing arts and culture. and it's all spent locally.
And on this point about arts and economic development, one of the things that I have heard from some local officials, including the mayor in an election forum 4 years ago when she was running the first time when this topic came up, is that while on the one hand arts are important for economic development, when resources do become extremely limited, like they are in the city now, the support for that has to take a back seat sometimes to initiatives that are more directly related to economic development. How do you see that trade-off playing out?
Well, I think I would disagree respectfully. I think that arts, culture, heritage, and history is an industry, and while we may, as a collective, we're providing, thousands of jobs. I think in Onondaga County, the study alone said that 1,800 jobs in Onondaga County alone. But I think that arts and culture, because we often focus our arguments for funding or support on the quality of life that we provide, and how many other industries can say that, but we haven't really talked in these hard numbers about economics of jobs, infusions of capital and what we raise for local taxes. So I would like to think that there's a place for us at the table with economic development, and right at the table, not sitting slightly behind.
And you have a background. Your own background is in theater. But before you became the executive director of CNY Arts, you were the executive director of the Mental Health Association of Onondaga County. So how are those two experiences different? Or is being an executive director being executive director? It doesn't matter.
Well, if we have a couple minutes, one of the last jobs I had when I was in New York City was I ran an organization that did drama therapy, and which was attached to the Department of Psychiatry at Mount Sinai. And we did over each year, we did 1,000 therapeutic theater groups throughout the tri-state area. And there is actually a correlation between mental health and art and culture as a healing tool. And music therapy, which has been around for a very long time, was used as far back as World War II with returning troops who were experiencing shock. Often if you watch an old movie, you will hear singing in the wards. That actually really went on because it was a great motivator towards better health. Even if you look at the Rorschach test, which is looking at, ink blots and saying, tell us what you see in this, how do you interpret this this picture? So art has always had a role in mental health. I also had just been through the Maxwell School and gotten a master's in public administration, and the Mental Health Association, and I'm grateful to say, saw that connection and gave me an opportunity there.
And let me get to the three questions. First, what's the title of the chapter of life you're currently living?
A middle-aged reinvention.
Second, what's your worst trait?
My worst trait is thinking that I can motivate.
And finally, what professional or creative achievement in your life so far has surprised you the most?
What surprised me the most is I went to New York to be an actor and, of course, had dreams of being a star at that time. But when I got into the Actors Union, it was through stage management. And I just really never saw myself as a manager type. So that was a real awakening for me.
That was Steve Butler. If you'd like to participate in the Engage CNY Community Survey, please go to cnyarts.org. Steve, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Grant Reher. Join me again next week on WRVO Public Media for more conversation in the public interest.